Welcome to the PEDS-NP, Pearls of Pediatric Evidence-Based Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Becky Carson, pediatric nurse practitioner and clinical assistant professor at the Catholic University of America. I hope you all enjoyed the Health Equity in Pediatrics podcast series, funded by the Rashida Monroe Health Equity Grant from the North Carolina chapter of the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners. It was a 7-episode series directed at the majority of PNPs who, like me, are white and female. To help us gain perspective on issues in health equity, where our own experience falls on the spectrum of privilege, and learn 8 simple best practices that an individual provider can implement that will turn you into an ally in health equity. It was an eye-opening experience for me to author the series, peer review it with a panel of DEI experts, study the impact, and disseminate those findings at conferences and in the literature. So in this epilogue episode of the Health Equity in Pediatrics series, I wanted to share some parting sentiments as well as some big conclusions that made this more than just a podcast. Researching these topics has been difficult, both academically and personally. So I wanted to take some time today to share how this series came to be, what we can learn from it, and where I hope it will go. I'll finish the episode with details about how you can learn about the results and how you can get involved in the PEDS-NP. First, I want to tell you about why I wrote the podcast series in the first place. As you may remember, I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which is where the University of North Carolina is. UNC is our nation's first public institution, chartered in 1789. The first student, Mr. Hinton James, walked from his home in Wilmington, North Carolina, all the way to Chapel Hill to start school in 1795. And over 200 years later, I also graduated with a BSN from the esteemed school. I walked the cobblestone brick paths, sat under the poplar trees on the quad, rushed Franklin Street after basketball championships, and even drank from the well. Chapel Hill is my home. The university put food on my table as a child, educated me, and is deeply ingrained in my worldview. For example, as a child, I didn't realize that most fire trucks are red, not Carolina blue, and street signs are green, not Carolina blue, and most people spell Duke, D-U-K-E, rather than the Chapel Hillians way, D-O-O-K. The sky was Carolina blue, and we lived in the southern part of heaven. To me, my hometown was liberal, diverse, and proud of our roots. It was known as the Carolina family. Then I read To Drink from the Well by Gita Kapoor, which gave me the complete racial reckoning that I was not expecting. Spoiler alert, the book begins one frosty December morning in the early 1800s with a slave ringing the bell of South Building to wake up the university. Ding dong, good morning, Carolina, time to start your day. A person whose ancestor was kidnapped from their home laid the foundation bricks of what would become a great institution of higher learning in a town proud of its family values. I knew that slavery and unsung founders were a part of the regrettable history of the school, but the imagery used in this book had never been so concrete, or brick in my case. I put the book down and went to my childhood photo archives. I searched for pictures of myself over the decades at UNC. I found tons of photos from over the years. Knock-kneed, posing at the well in elementary school. Sitting on a bench on Easter morning in high school. Lying happily on the quad after a game of Frisbee. Throwing my graduation cap in the air. And even photos of my children in baby carriers. And in each of these photos, when I examined the background covered in picturesque oak trees and architectural genius, I can see a building that was built by enslaved people. It was in reading this book that the heirlooms of structural racism finally made it to my front door, my hometown, no longer able to be attributed to some other person or place. Those products of racism still stand in use, forgotten relics of hate that today are beloved historic artifacts, whitewashed and revered for their beauty, used to educate the next generation of American citizens. It feels ironic. I overlooked the origins of my hometown for so long. I empathized with disenfranchised populations, felt guilty for the marginalization of others, and lamented that I felt like there was nothing I could do. Finally, I wondered, was my nursing practice compromised by bias? I felt helpless. But as one of my DEI expert co-authors told me, you don't have to feel burdened by the mistakes of the past. Once you have the skills and the knowledge, now you move forward. So I use this podcast to promote the application of evidence-based practice in real-life clinical conundrums in ways that encourage us to implement research at the bedside so that kids have better outcomes. And I thought, if the pen is mightier than the sword, then what is a podcast? How can I use this podcast to make a difference in health equity? And I knew what the best practices were. So I saw an opportunity to discuss how we as individuals can impact a seemingly insurmountable problem. It wouldn't need big nonprofit programs or public health officials or even legislators to rewrite policy. The podcast could change outcomes by creating allies out of white women who realize that our patients are likely to differ from us in some way. If children and their caregivers don't see their needs and values reflected in our care, they may experience further obstacles on the journey to health. I realized that empathy and understanding on behalf of an ally can make a world of difference to someone from a community that's often marginalized. Using small practice changes that prioritize the needs of people over the bias of society, we can better address health disparities. I could expand these concepts beyond racial and ethnic discrimination to children and families who identify as LGBTQ, children with mental health disorders, and children with weight differences. And so the podcast series was born. Fast forward, you listened to the Health Equity in Pediatrics series and even filled out the survey after each episode. Well, what happened next? Well, I collected data for 3 months and then analyzed it. There were 7 episodes with 8 best practices. Episodes ranged from 12 to 21 minutes in length with an average of 16 minutes. 4,095 downloads occurred in 3 months across 46 countries, although 93% were in the United States. A majority of listeners used podcast apps like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. There were 66 participants who filled out the post-podcast survey. A majority were APRNs or APRN students, mostly in the primary care setting, but there was a significant representation of educators and acute care PNPs, most likely due to my roles and connections. The survey used a 5-point Likert scale to assess perception of prior knowledge and post-knowledge. Nearly all of the participants stated that the topic affected their patient population, and all reported equal or improved knowledge after listening, with an average increase of 0.95 on that 5-point Likert scale. A similar 5-point Likert scale was used to compare participants' prior practice habits with the practices recommended in the episodes. Where most people stated that their practice habits were slightly different from the recommendations. Then it asked how likely they were to change their practice based on the episode. 90% reported a likelihood that they would change their practice, with an average increase of 2 on that 5-point scale. This is functionally doubling their scores. 74% cited the podcast as very influential or extremely influential in the decision. And frankly, I was flattered. The final open-ended essay question asked for comments on the episode. Qualitative analysis showed 3 general themes, each with sub-themes. They were knowledge gained, appreciation of the podcast, and change. In many ways, the qualitative comments were more meaningful for me to see the impact of how the podcast was able to reach listeners. One comment even made me cry. It was in reference to the episode on microaggressions. In the episode, a hypothetical provider refuses to write an African-American child with fever a prescription for over-the-counter Tylenol and ibuprofen. After the nurse protests, arguing that the child's insurance would pay for it if only a prescription is written, the provider again refuses, touting, "Did you see that mom's nails? If she can afford to get her nails done like that, then she can afford $5 for Tylenol and ibuprofen." This example of implicit bias is something I had seen in practice before, and it was more prevalent than I even knew. The survey participant wrote, quote, "I confess that I have literally made the same comment about nails. I shall not do this anymore. I will interrupt microaggressions in a non-confrontational way. Be curious, not judgmental," end quote. Okay, so what does all of that mean? What were your conclusions? Well, thank you for asking. This is the part I love to talk about. First, we need to split the discussion on impact into two categories, individual and systems-wide. From an individual perspective, the series showed us that with those eight simple best practices, health equity is not an insurmountable problem. The provider relationship with patients and families matters, and it starts with how you approach each encounter. White women can and should be allies, starting in these simple ways, now, today. We remember that we may not be able to eliminate bias in ourselves because that's complex, but we can better recognize situations that represent bias, reflect, and change our behavior so that it doesn't impact patient outcomes. Way to go, us. Next, there were stylistic techniques to facilitate listener engagement that led to reflection, entertainment, and the desire to change. These stylistic techniques were strategies that you've grown accustomed to in my podcast style. They're things like individual championing, hypothetical questions, role play, and invitations for self-reflection. Your comments discuss reflections on privilege and newfound confidence in using the lens of health equity. I heard your appreciation for new perspectives offered by the podcast, and the reminder is served to implement evidence-based care. You spoke of your ability to better recognize and mitigate situations with implicit bias and your plan to use these strategies. And it's so exciting to know that we can have behavior change in an average of 16 minutes. I was stoked. So from a systems perspective, this study showed that a conversational commentary on evidence-based practice that applies DEI concepts is relatable. Podcasts are a strategy we can use to standardize DEI and health equity education across schools of nursing. That way, we can be confident that peer-reviewed education is free from bias. Because until the pipeline of PNPs and nurse educators reflects the populations we care for, we're at risk of representing the same implicit bias we're actively trying to teach about. Standardization and peer review feels like a safer way to teach DEI concepts, which is possible through podcasts. Next steps include letting our national organizations support podcasts rather than publishing articles that are slower to make it to the mainstream, continuing education credit, implicit bias training, and the prospective measurement of patient outcomes. I wouldn't be a good academic unless I shared with you my limitations. Of course, there were some. First, there was a low response rate for the podcast survey, 1.6% to be exact. And certainly the participants were subject to the Hawthorne effect, where they knew their responses were being studied, so they may respond in a different way than they otherwise would. Also, this study looked at the perception of knowledge gain and the desire to change practice, not objective pre- and post-test knowledge scores or measurable patient outcomes. So then what? Well, I disseminated it. I spoke in Raleigh at the North Carolina NAPNAP Fall Conference. I spoke in Washington, D.C. for the DNPs of Color National Conference on Trailblazers and Game Changers. I spoke at AACN's DEI Symposium in New Orleans. And I wrote an article with Drs. Brad Sobolewski and Felicia Bowen that will be published in the March-April special issue on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging in the Journal of Pediatric Healthcare. Be sure to check out the full manuscript, which details the entire study. Then share this podcast series with your colleagues and schools of nursing as a DEI curriculum founded in the literature, but easy listening with practical implications. I spent over a year on this project, and I'm sure you're wondering what's next for you. By now, the Peds NP has grown to something I did not expect when I first started it in 2020. And I'm not going to be prescriptive on where it should go. But I will share that I have a great study in the wings, and I'll leak that I've got a star-studded cast of experts in pediatric acute care from across the country that are going to blow your mind. And I want to hear from the providers that use this podcast about what you want to hear next. Email me at thepedsnp@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram at thepedsnppodcast. Or tell me in person at the NAPNAP National Conference in Denver. You can come to my session 117 on March 13th from 4:50 to 5:50. I'll be presenting Scholarly Podcasting 101. It's a how-to lesson on quality standards and technology for those of you who dare to venture into your own podcasting land. I hope to see you on day one at the Denver Conference, March 13th, session 117, from 4:40 to 5:40. It's the perfect end to our first day before we go enjoy those happy hour drink tickets. Before I sign off, I want to sincerely thank everyone involved in supporting the Health Equity in Pediatrics series. It was a labor of love, made possible by the North Carolina NAPNAP board members and the Rashida Monroe Health Equity Grant, by my peer reviewers from the DEI Committee of NAPNAP, from my co-authors Brad Sobolewski and Felicia Bowen, and by you, the listeners, who faithfully streamed every episode, filled out surveys, and changed your practice. Your proof that it's not just a podcast. Health equity starts with you. I'm Becky Carson. Take care.